Amen. Well, last Sunday, I was not here, but I was listening on Facebook Live. Man, y'all had a good time. Pastor Rob was kicking it old school on praise and worship. My toes were tapping. Glory to his name. I love that one. Good old time. Well, while you guys were having a wonderful time, I was having a not so wonderful time running in the New York Marathon. Look, if you saw my finish time, you would not be clapping, all right? But thank you. Thank you anyway. I appreciate that. Let me tell you, I'm glad to be home. It was a life-changing experience. I got a photo of my wife and I after the race. One of us looks happy, don't we? The modern marathon was inspired by the Greek legend of Pheidippides. Pheidippides was the faithful messenger who ran from the Greek city of Marathon all the way to Athens to announce to them that the Persian army had been defeated. And we think it's such a wonderful story, and we celebrate it, and we have marathons in his honor. But what they don't tell you is that as soon as Pheidippides got to Athens, he fell over and died. Look it up. It's in the history, but they don't talk about that part. It was tough. Even for a slow kid like me, it was tough. Now, if I base my experience on the weather and on the road conditions, on how I felt, I could say that it was a miserable experience. Okay? I thought I had prepared, but I wasn't ready for all of those bless God bridges in New York City. I was not. The first mile of the marathon was running straight up the Verrazano Narrows Bridge, 2 miles long, and that thing is steep. And I was calling on Jesus in the first mile. Man, faith and power, I'll tell you what. I could have come away from this saying it was a miserable experience, but for me, it was not a miserable experience. And I'll tell you why. Because more than 1 million people had gathered on the sidelines of that race, and they changed everything for me. People were cheering, people were dancing, people were playing music, they were holding up signs, they were shouting. It was an incredible experience. And last Sunday, I learned an important lesson. Last Sunday, I learned that the race is not just about the finish line. It's also about the sidelines. You see, it's not just that we're running in the race, but it's also that there are people on the sidelines who are there to cheer us on and to encourage us and help motivate us along the way. And I'm not one to over-spiritualize everything, but this is what I truly believe. I believe that there were people on those sidelines that God placed there to help me run that race. The past few weeks, I've been answering questions from you, but today I'm asking the question, okay? And this is my question to you this morning. Whose sideline are you standing on? Whose sideline are you standing on? Because I promise you, there is somebody in your life that needs you. There is somebody in your life who is running the race and they're struggling and they need somebody who is going to encourage them and shout and call out their name and cheer them as they run the race. God has placed you on somebody's sideline and he puts you there to help them finish strong. So I ask you again this morning, whose sideline are you standing on? Maybe it's a husband. Maybe it's a wife. Maybe it's a child. Maybe it's a neighbor. Maybe it's a friend. Maybe it's a military spouse, a military family who could use some encouragement. Maybe it's a friend of yours. Maybe you know their marriage is in trouble and everybody's telling them, well, you just need to give up. You just need to be happy. You just need to go. You need to just make sure that you're happy. No, they need somebody who's going to say, don't give up. You can do it. You can get through this. You can make it. I don't know whose sideline you're on, but I believe that you know, and I believe the Holy Spirit is going to remind you this morning and open up your eyes to see that he has you on somebody's sideline who needs you. Who needs you. And this morning, I have 5 ways for you to work your sideline. Are you ready to work your sideline this morning? Come on, tell somebody sitting near you, work your sideline. 5 ways that you can work your sideline. And I've, for each point, I've got a little marathon memory to share. Listen, pastors would be making sermons out of everything. So I got a little marathon memories I share with you as I go. Five ways to work your sideline. Number one is be nice. Oh, man, it got quiet in here. Just be nice. Come on, tell your neighbor, just be nice. My goodness, never underestimate the power of being nice. Ephesians 4:32 says, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Church, a little bit of kindness goes a long way. And I've got another picture to show you. Listen, every mile of the marathon, every single mile, there were volunteers, hundreds of them, standing out in the drizzling rain, handing out water to the runners. And this is the amazing thing. Not one of them was getting paid. They weren't getting recognized. I didn't hear anybody else say thank you to them. Half the time, people would drink the water and throw the cup right back at them. And yet, they were standing in the rain just being nice. A little bit of kindness goes a long ways. So I challenge you this week to be nice. Somebody in your life needs to be encouraged this week. So what do I want you to do? Listen, they didn't give us a whole lot of water. They gave us a little bit of water. Just a tiny little bit, a few ounces. But a little bit of water goes a long way when you're dry and thirsty. I'm not telling you that you need to go out and pay off somebody's mortgage and paint their house and become their best friend and go get airbrushed t-shirts and let... Just be nice to somebody. A little bit of kindness can go a long, long ways. And this picture reminds me of Proverbs 11:25. It says, the generous soul will be made rich, and he who waters will also be watered himself. The NIV says it like this, a generous person will prosper, and whoever refreshes others will be refreshed. So as you're standing on the sideline this week in somebody's life, find a way to be nice and show them just a little bit of kindness. Will you do that? I'm glad two of y'all are going to be nice. Come on, are you going to be nice this week?
Yes.
Come on, say it by faith. You going to be nice?
Yes.
Praise God, that's what I'm talking about. Five ways to work your sideline. Number one is be nice. Number two, be happy. Good gracious. Some of y'all walk around like Jesus is still in the tomb. Come on, church. We need to be happy. We need to celebrate Jesus is alive. And because he's alive, he's made us alive. Be happy. This is a picture that I took. I have no idea who this guy is. But I ran across him on Fifth Avenue. In fact, I was running, and I was laughing so hard that I stopped, and I ran backwards in the New York Marathon just so I could get out my phone, take a picture of this guy. I had ran 20 miles. It was the hardest point at the race for me, and I did not know how bad I needed to laugh. This guy, standing on a teddy bear, made me... laugh. And it helped me. Listen, Proverbs 17:22 says, a merry heart does good like medicine, but a broken spirit dries the bones. By the way, it's okay to laugh. The Bible even says that God himself has appointed times to laugh. Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Proverbs 15:13 says, a happy heart makes the face cheerful. Listen, if you're happy and you know it, notify your face. Some of y'all look like you were weaned on a pickle. Got that sour look on your face all the time. Come on, if you're going to make yourself useful and encourage others as they run the race, sometimes you got to smile a little bit and laugh a little bit. I'm not telling you to pretend like you don't have any problems, but what I am saying is you ought to walk in the joy of the Lord despite your problems. Jesus said in Matthew 5:13, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing. I don't know if you've ever been on a no salt diet, but it is disgusting. It's miserable. It's awful. Come on, salt makes everything taste better. Nothing tastes, I even put salt on watermelon. Come on, somebody. Salt makes everything taste better. Jesus said that we are the salt of the earth. That means that we should make this whole world better. Two of y'all are with me this morning. The salt of the earth, we are the flavor. Nutritionists say that the more salt that a food has, the more you crave it. The more salt you got in something, the more you want it. That's why restaurants, they just dump sodium in their food. The more salt in something, the more you'll crave it. Listen, child of God, you ought to be so full of the life of God that sinners who don't know God and don't know Jesus will not leave you alone getting on your nerves because they want to know what it is about you that they don't have in their life. Come on, ask somebody, where's the salt? My goodness. Psalm 16:11, you will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy, and at your side are pleasures forevermore. Five ways to work your sideline. I'm almost done. I'm going to hurry up. Five ways to work your sideline. Number one, be nice. Number two, be happy. Number three, meet a need. I've got another picture for you. Look at that. The M&M. It was mile number 10. Now you gotta keep in mind, because I was a slow kid, I didn't get to run till 11 o'clock. But I ate at 4:30 in the morning on the Staten Island Ferry. I had me a bucket of pretzels and a Coca-Cola, and that thing was long gone by 11 o'clock. But it was mile 10. It was about 1 o'clock in the afternoon, and I was hungry like nobody's business. I mean, I was like, man, these slow runners better watch out. I was hungry. I know y'all ain't got it like I got it, but I'm always hungry, and it was bad. I was looking on the ground like, man, I might eat a cup or something. Eat a street rat in New York City. You don't know. I might eat the south end out of a northbound donkey. I don't know. I was hungry. And on mile 10, as I was running around the corner, somebody on the sideline reached out and handed me a bag of peanut M&Ms. And church, I was about to shout the victory. Right there. I was like, man, this race might as well be over now. I'm done. But I needed it. And I know that a bag of M&Ms is not much. But I will never, for the rest of my life, forget the kindness of a stranger who handed me a little bag of peanut M&Ms when I needed something to eat. And I'm done with point number three. I'm going to let Jesus preach the rest of it. He said in Matthew 25:31, when the Son of Man comes in His glory, and all the holy angels with Him, then He will sit on the throne of His glory, and all the nations will be gathered before Him. And He will separate them one from another, as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And He will set the sheep on His right hand and the goats on His left hand. And then the King will say to those on His right hand, come, you blessed of My Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer Him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? Then the King will answer and say, assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you have done it to the least of these, My brethren, you did it to Me. You're standing on somebody's sideline, church, and this week I want you to open up your eyes and find a need and meet it. 1 John 3:18 says, dear children, let us love not with words or speech, but with actions and in truth. Don't just talk about it. Do something about it. Five ways to work your sideline. Number one, be nice. Number two, be happy. Number three, meet a need. And number four, praise God. Praise God. I've got another picture for you. I was running through Brooklyn. Now, this was pre-Eminem, okay? This was pre-Eminem. All right, I was not in a pleasant mood, okay? I was hungry. It was raining. I stepped in a wonderful New York City pothole, and my feet were completely soaked. I mean, I was sloshing when I ran. Needless to say, I wasn't ready to sing the Hallelujah chorus at that point in the race. But when I was on mile number 8, I came around another corner and I passed this church. This is Emmanuel Baptist Church in Brooklyn, right on the marathon route. And they had their praise team, they had their choir, they had the band set up, and right there in the middle of that mess, I felt the presence of God, the anointing of the Holy Ghost right there in the streets of New York City, and I ran about 5 miles just on Jesus. I mean, I picked up the pace, I was passing people, see you later, I gotta go, because I got strength. I wasn't the one singing. I wasn't the one praising. I got strength from their praise. If you want to be who God had called you to be on the sideline, praise Him wherever you are. David said in Psalm 34:1, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. This reminds me of Paul and Silas in Acts chapter 16. Paul and Silas had been preaching the gospel in Philippi, and God confirmed the gospel with signs and wonders and miracles. And while they were preaching in the city, a Philippian slave girl, a fortune teller, followed them around saying, "These men are servants of the Most High God who proclaim to us the way of salvation." Now that sounds good. But there was more going on than what met the ear. You see, people were drawn to Paul and Silas, and this girl, under demonic influence, was trying to coattail on the people of God to make money for her fortune-telling business. Bible says it annoyed Paul so much that he turned around and cast the devil out of the girl. When's the last time somebody got on your nerve so bad you just cast the devil out of them? Glory to God, that stirs up my faith. She was delivered right there on the spot, and it was a great miracle. But listen, when you get excited about Jesus, don't expect everybody to be excited about Him too. The Bible says that the slave girl's masters got angry because they were losing money, and they threw them in the prison. Not just the prison. The Bible says they were in the inner prison. Not only were they locked up, they were at the very bottom of the basement. Look at verse 19. Acts chapter 16. It says that when they had laid many stripes on them, they threw them into prison and commanded the jailer to keep them securely. Think about how Paul and Silas felt in that moment. What started as a great day quickly spiraled into a terrible day. They were serving God. They were doing right. They were there to help people. But instead of them saying thank you, the people of Philippi dragged them through the streets, humiliated them, beat them, and threw them in a Roman jail. So they're sitting in a jail. Their feet were in shackles. Their backs were bleeding. It couldn't get much worse than that. And that's why this next verse is so incredible. Bible says in Acts 16:25 that at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. And the prisoners heard them. I don't know what you and I, what we would do if we were thrown into the bottom of the prison, if we had been beaten and ridiculed and falsely accused and publicly humiliated. I don't know what you and I would do, but I tell you what Paul and Silas did. They sang praises unto God. That's what a worshiper does. worshiper is going to worship. It doesn't matter if it's a good day or if it's a bad day. A worshiper is going to praise God no matter what happens in their situation, no matter what comes their way. A worshiper says it doesn't matter what the circumstances are. It doesn't matter if life is good or bad or tough right now, but I've made up my mind. I will bless the Lord at all times. Paul and Silas could have focused on their problems. They could have focused on the stripes, on the shackles, but instead of thinking about the bad, how bad their problem was, they focused on how good their God is. They praised him right in the middle of their mess, in the bottom of the prison. My goodness. I don't know about you, but I think we all need some bottom praisers in our life. There is something special about somebody who can be on the worst day of their life, on the very worst thing, at the very bottom, falling apart. Something that would have made anybody else lose their mind, but yet even in the middle of that mess, they say, I will bless the Lord. Bible says that at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them, and suddenly there was an earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open, and everyone's bands were loosed. To me, one of the greatest miracles of Acts chapter 16 is the fact that Paul and Silas were the ones praising, yet everybody was set free. I don't think you understand the power of your praise. Listen, I'm looking for somebody who's going to praise God no matter what they're going. I'm looking for some crazy friends who I say hallelujah and they say hallelujah, and I say thank you and they say Jesus. Hallelujah! Power of praise. Listen, if you want to work your sideline, if you want to be an influence to somebody that God has sent you to encourage, child of God, you need to be praising God everywhere you go, not just on Sunday morning. What about Monday morning when you go to clock in and you got that old wicked supervisor who you know is going to give you a hard time? You ought to just praise God anyway. I will bless the Lord at all times. Come on, church. You don't know that somebody in your life needs your praise. Somebody in your life needs you to praise God. Because old out of shape Pastor Josh might be running through a mud puddle and having a rough day and feeling down in the dumps. And he needs an Emmanuel Baptist Church who's going to sing the high praises of God. Breathe life into me. Work your sideline. Five ways. Number one, be nice. Number two, be happy. Number three, meet a need. Number four, praise God. And number five, last one, go the extra mile. Anybody ever heard the expression, going the extra mile? Yes. Listen, I know a lot of people don't know where that came from, but that came directly from Jesus. So if you ain't a Christian, you don't get to use our phrase. That's a Christian phrase. We go the extra mile. You don't know what you're talking about. All right, come on. That comes directly from the Lord Jesus himself in Matthew 5:41. He said, whoever compels you to go 1 mile, go with him 2 miles. In other words, do more than is required of you. Do more than what is required. I'm going to share one last story, and then we're going to pray, and we're going to baptize some people today. Listen, when we went up to New York City for the marathon, I actually booked a hotel in Newark, New Jersey. Why? Because I'm cheap. I figured out if you stay in Newark, you could take the train into Manhattan for $13, and that's a whole lot less than you take a taxi cab for. I was cheap, cheap, El Cheapo, staying in Newark, New Jersey. And after the race was over, the race ended in Central Park, and after the race, I got sick. I mean, I got real sick. I got so sick, I was a little worried. So instead of taking an hour train ride, we just booked a cab and said, take me back to the hotel. I wish you could take me back to North Carolina, but at least take me to the hotel. We came in there, and I was so sick, so sick. And my wife went into the hotel lobby to get me a Coca-Cola. I'll take some medicine and drink Coke and go to sleep. And they said, well, ma'am, I'm so sorry, but all we have is Pepsi. The devil is a lie. I said, no thanks, I'd rather just be sick than drink Pepsi. If you love Pepsi, you're probably a Duke fan. I love you anyway. So I said, okay, that's fine. I understand. Everybody's nice about it. We went up to the room, took some medicine, and I laid down on the bed and I just prayed. Why? Because I'm a Christian. I don't just pray on Sunday morning, y'all. When I'm feeling sick, when I'm in a need, I pray too. Just in case y'all didn't know that, I just laid on the bed and I prayed and I moaned. I was like, dear Jesus, I don't want to throw up. I don't want to pass out. But I know one of those two things is on the table here. So I was just praying and resting and waiting for the medicine to kick in. And somebody knocked on the door. Do you know that the hotel staff went and found me a can of Coke? They smuggled a can of Coke into my hotel. And let me listen, I know a can of Coke might not be much. I know they only cost about 35 cents. New York, maybe $35. I don't know. It seemed like a small thing, but to me it was a big thing. It was huge to me. It touched my life. And I want to challenge you this week. Find somebody's can of Coca-Cola. Find somebody in need. Find somebody who needs a little bit of encouragement, a little bit of strength, a little bit of prayer. And don't just help them. Go the extra mile. Remember, everywhere you go this week, I want you to think about this. God has me standing on somebody's sideline. Love them. Encourage them. Go the extra mile and make a difference in their life. In just a few moments, we're going to have baptisms, but before we do, I want to close with the words of Jesus, and then we'll pray. Jesus said, give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure you meet withal, shall be measured to you again. Listen, Christianity is not about getting. It's about giving. But the wonderful thing about God is when you give, He gives right back. Let's pray as the musicians come today. Jesus, I want to thank you. Lord, that you have placed us in this life not just for ourselves. Lord, that when we run the race, we're not running the race alone. But Lord, you have placed us here, Lord, to encourage one another. And Lord, it's my prayer, Lord, that you would open up our eyes to see, God, that we are standing on somebody's sideline. And Lord, help us to see, Lord, who those people are, Lord, that you want us to encourage, you want us to strengthen, that you want us to pray for, that you want us to bless. Lord, help us to see this week, Lord, the needs of people around us so that we can not only meet that need, but go the extra mile. And Lord, help us to be the kind of people who praise you at all times, who give the glory and the honor to Jesus. God, knowing that, Lord, you bring freedom when the people of God praise you. Help us, Lord, to encourage somebody in Jesus' name. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus, I'm on your sideline this morning. Because I'm standing here today to tell you that you don't have to go through life alone anymore. You don't have to fight sin. You don't have to fight temptation. You don't have to fight grief, the stress of life, the pressures of this world all by yourself anymore. You see, Jesus is a mighty Savior. He's the only Savior. And if you'll trust in Him, He'll set you free. He'll be your strength. He'll walk with you. He'll guide you and help you if you trust in Him. If you're here today and you're not right with God, you don't have peace in your heart, listen, make it right with Him this morning. Come to Jesus just the way you are. Repent of your sins, believe in Him, and He'll save you. The Bible says in Romans 5:8 that God demonstrates His own love toward us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Come as you are to Jesus, ask Him to forgive you of your sins, commit your life to follow Him. You can have the hope, the joy, and the peace that only comes from Jesus. Wonderful thing about Jesus is that He never consults our past to determine our future. He never turned anybody away. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Make that decision today to follow Jesus. I want to pray for you. Lord, I pray, God, for those who are here today, Lord, who don't know You. Lord, I thank You that You love them. Thank You, Jesus, that You died on the cross to pay the price for their sins, to set them free. Lord, I thank You, God, that You're here today and that You are more than able to save them, to set them free, to restore them, to bring peace and healing, joy and strength. Lord, I pray that they would have the boldness today, Lord, to commit their life to You. In Jesus' name. I want to lead you guys in a simple prayer, and I want to ask everybody here, let's pray this prayer out loud together. Dear Jesus, forgive me of my sins. Come into my heart. Be the Lord of my life. Jesus, I turn away from sin, and I trust in You. Help me, Lord, to follow You, to serve You, to love You, to know You the rest of my life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. You prayed that prayer, you've made the greatest decision of your lifetime. In fact, I want us to make a declaration. I dare you just to throw up your hands right now and say this with me. Come on, say, I'm saved. I'm forgiven. I'm set free. I'm a child of God. I belong to Jesus. Now come on, let's make the devil mad. Devil, I don't belong to you anymore. I belong to Jesus. I am His and He is mine. Come on, give Him praise this morning. Oh, thank